This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Good morning, Bucknutters. Welcome to the Bucknuts Morning 5 here on Wednesday, November 13th, 2019. I am Dave Biddle, very happy to be joined by the People's Champ, Matt Baxendale. Bax, of course, the latest college football playoff rankings came out last night. The Buckeyes fell from number 1 to number 2. LSU jumped them. You know, it's pretty tough when you win by 59 points like the Buckeyes did against Maryland and you drop. But LSU did go into Tuscaloosa and win. Just your thoughts on the Buckeyes dropping to number 2.
I mean, I'm not surprised. Let's be honest here. LSU has got a great resume, and the committee seems to have this very high opinion of Texas, which gives them yet another top 25 win. And so, you know, at the end of the day, I'm not that shocked that they put LSU number one. My thought process on this, though, folks, is that this committee has shown the ability to sort of change its opinion every week, which is what it's supposed to do, unlike in the past where it hasn't done that, and we've all been very mad at it. So, the good news in my mind is that I think with Ohio State's remaining schedule, they could easily move back up into the top spot. And right now, when it looks like there's three teams that are sort of ahead of everybody else, and that being LSU, Clemson, and Ohio State, that extra spot is a big deal right now. Like, let's be very honest about it. You want to get first, not second or third. But Ohio State currently has remaining the number 8, the number 9, and the number 15 teams in the CFP standings, assuming they play Minnesota in the championship game. And if they don't play Minnesota, they'll play current number 14, Wisconsin. So you're going to finish the season with three straight games against top 15 opposition. Your resume is going to look every bit as good, if not better, than LSU's. And remember, the committee had LSU at 2 last week before their resume, got that extra bump from Alabama. So, you know, and the other thing to keep in mind is Ohio State also has Cincinnati, who, as long as they keep winning, that helps Ohio State. And I would also throw out there that Ohio State's non-conference opponents are now 20-8. That's a really good record. So just keep winning. I mean, that's the blunt answer. Just keep winning. Beat Penn State, beat Michigan, and beat whoever you play in the Big Ten Championship. And it's going to be very hard for me to see the committee not putting OSU at number 1 in the final rankings.
That's right. Keep your eyes. You know, they've been just laser-focused on everything, and especially that game against Michigan. That's the one that I'm not concerned about it, but of all the games – that they have left on the regular season of all the games. Of the three games they have left, really the two games, Michigan's the one that concerns me the most. They just got to stay focused, and it'll all take care of itself, as you said. Speaking of the LSU-Alabama game, as you watched that, were you surprised? I mean, Alabama came back and made a good game, had a late touchdown to make it a little bit misleading, but had an onside kick. I mean, LSU's winning 33-13 at halftime backs, and I mean, I'm just not used to, obviously we're not used to seeing an Alabama defense could just get bludgeoned like that. Were you surprised when you're watching that game?
Yes and no. Those are exactly the two teams that I thought I was going to see. We've been talking all year about how Alabama's defense is not what it typically has been. Like, people go, ooh, it's Alabama. Well, there's some years where Alabama isn't quote-unquote Alabama. You saw, like, G. Harris had one awesome drive for them running the football, but most of the rest of the game, he didn't do a lot, right? This is not the same Alabama team that we're used to in the past that runs you into oblivion and you don't get to move the ball more than 4 feet. That was a Big 12 game from 2011. And the Big 12 game from 2011 was usually won by the team that turns the ball over less, right? Or the team that forces more red zone turnovers. Well, that was LSU in this game. You know, I watched that game and I wasn't particularly fearful from an OSU point of view of either team, to be real blunt, because I think both teams would have difficulty moving the football against OSU. So, you know, I'm not that surprised with the way it played out. Like, if you told me that game was 9-6 again, I would have gone, wow, I got to reevaluate the way I'm looking at these teams. But truth is, they are who I thought they were, to pull a Denny Green quote out here. And end of the day, you know, I think LSU is a good football team. I don't think they're an infallible football team by any means. And, you know, that's a good thing for OSU, because I do think OSU is better than both those teams on the field after having watched them again against top competition. You got to give Joe Burrow a lot of credit. And, you know, you certainly would have to expect that those teams would score some points. But end of the day, I think Ohio State was better than either football team. And I just think Ohio State's schedule, the biggest games that are going to matter to the committee are on the back end of it.
Yeah, I'm with you. And, you know, looking at it right now, I have no problem with it. As you said, it's I think Ohio State's the better team. But you look at LSU's resume, I mean, their second best win, according to the committee, is better than Ohio State's best win so far. Now, maybe if you look at final score, it's not. But, you know, Florida is ranked higher than Wisconsin. And that's LSU's second best win. And to go into Tuscaloosa and beat Alabama, I mean, that's, you got hats off. Hats off for that. I know it's not maybe the typical Alabama team, but still. I don't have any problem with it, and I'm with you. The Buckeyes went out. I think they're going to jump back over LSU. It depends. I mean, if the Buckeyes squeak by Penn State, squeak by Michigan, squeak by Minnesota, let's say in the Big Ten championship game, and LSU just handles Georgia with ease in the SEC title game, they probably won't flip. It'll probably stay LSU. But if it's the reverse, where LSU's struggling to win, you know, but they do win out, and Ohio State wins out, but they're crushing people, I think Ohio State will jump them. I want to move on and talk about the most interesting story going on in Buckeye Nation and perhaps Penn State Nation and Maryland Nation right now. Everybody wants to know who the snitch is. And this is not politics. This is the football version of the snitch. I think the politics version of the snitch, that name's been out there for a while now. But everybody wants to know who the snitch is that turned in Chase Young backs. And this is fascinating. There's a lot of talk. You know, Bill Green mentioned it might be. And Bill said that he wasn't hearing this, you know, firsthand, that he was just hearing there was rumors that could be Maryland's or Chase Young's former high school coach, who's now on the staff at Maryland, which made a lot of sense the way Ohio State was going after Maryland. Now talk, you know, this stemmed from Zach Smith's podcast, Menace to Society. Zach Smith is hearing it from, as he said on his podcast, three coaches, high school coaches in Maryland have heard, so he's hearing this secondhand, that James Franklin is behind this, that Penn State head coach James Franklin is behind this. I have no idea if this is true for the listeners out there. Like, I don't know if this is true. Bax, just your reaction to the latest twist in the soap opera here.
Well, Franklin's behind it. He's stupid in how he did it. Wouldn't you put it out the week before Ohio State played Penn State? I mean, like, I have no information on this. I'm just going by what smells, right? And to me, it's between Ohio State's players telling Keandre Jones that Maryland was the snitch on the field after the game, between the fact that Ohio State went for an onside kick in a game where, I mean, come on, really? You know? To me, it seems like the Buckeyes strongly believe it's Maryland. The Franklin element makes it fun because that's the next big game. But, you know, if it was Franklin, we'd have heard about it this week or next week, right? I mean, wouldn't that make more sense? And, you know, while I wouldn't put anything past Franklin, let's face it, he's a salesman and a half in recruiting. I don't see the benefit for him in doing that. It just doesn't make any sense. So I don't think it's Franklin right now. My best guess is that it's somebody related to Maryland.
It sure looked that way. I mean, why? I mean, I guess it could be both things. I had somebody point this out to me. Like, hey, I mean, don't rule out the possibility that it could be, you know, there could be more than one snitch, or, you know, more than one person that Ohio State's mad at, because, you know, let's say James Franklin is behind us again. I don't know that he is. Does that completely mean nobody from Maryland was involved? I mean, I can't get there, because somebody from Maryland, to me, had to be involved, or at least Ohio State thought so, or there's no way Ryan Day would have been doing things that he did. Again, not just, you know, the best special teams play ever in football, not just maybe the best onside kick, the best special teams play ever. You could argue you're working on that because you need to use that. You know, it's only 14-0 at the time. But the timeouts before halftime, I mean, he clearly is sending a message. So Ohio State clearly believes it was somebody on Maryland staff. I'm with you on that.
And the other thing, too, you have to keep in mind about this with OSU is that if this wasn't Maryland, like, you know, a lot of the stuff they did in that game just doesn't make sense. So, you know, in the end, too, let's also point this out. How would James Franklin find out about it? Like, this doesn't make sense, right? It's not like he's in Chase Young's backyard, right? We don't know who this family friend is still, so let's all tap our brakes in general on this. Like, They all want the NCAA to rule Chase eligible and let him play, you know, at least for Penn State. But the truth of the matter is that we have no idea who this family friend is, right? We've heard people insinuate it's an agent. That's what Zach Smith himself said. So let's slow our roll and let's see how this plans out first before we really get into, quote unquote, who the snitch is, because it could easily be a jilted agent wannabe too. You never know.
Let's switch gears. Jahmyr Gibbs continues to heat up the recruitment of Jahmyr Gibbs to Ohio State. He's committed to Georgia Tech, but he took an unofficial visit to Ohio State. This past weekend came up on his own dime, and there wasn't a lot of other recruits there, so they were able to, you know, spend a lot of time with him, even though it was an unofficial visit. He plans on coming back for an official. So things are trending well here for Jahmyr Gibbs. Just do you feel like – how are you feeling about it, Bax? Do you feel like the Buckeyes have a good chance of landing him?
Well, I think the team to watch is Georgia. And while I always front every one of my recruiting statements with, I'm not the expert, that's the Bills. The truth is, you know, he came up to Ohio State on his own money. And when a kid comes up and pays their own way, that's all you really need to know about what their interest is in your school. And now, having lived in Georgia, it's not the hardest place to come visit. Like, don't get me wrong. But, like, let's be real honest. I don't think Ohio State has any sort of, you know, illusions about where they're at in this class. You know, everybody wants to talk about Bijan Robinson and Jalen Knighton again, right? Well, to me, Gibbs has been the guy they've been pursuing the hardest the last couple months. So there's clearly mutual interest. I think OSU certainly is looking into getting at least two running backs in this class because of the depth issues that they have. But let's face it, too. If you're OSU and you can't pull a big-time kid, do you save the scholarship? Because let's face it, Master Teague, I think, would be the leading rusher on 9 out of 14 Big Ten teams this year already. So you got to like the depth you have with him, Crowley, and Steel Chambers. So it'll be interesting to watch it play out. And if Georgia offers, I don't know if we get Gibbs. But if Georgia stays out of the equation, I could certainly see him being a Buckeye. Let's face it, he's not sticking with Georgia Tech with all the big kids chasing him.
Final thing here on the show, Ohio State's basketball team against Villanova tonight at the Shot. 7 p.m. game is on Fox Sports 1. And as you pointed out to me before the show started, Villanova is favored, and I looked it up. Villanova is favored by 2.5 points as of us recording the show here, 8 a.m. Wednesday morning. I was surprised to see the Buckeyes are favored. I was thinking, like, listen, this is not the great Villanova team that won 2 national championships in 3 years, but, you know, that's saying a lot. But they're still really good, so I figured they'd be the one that was slightly favored. But the Buckeyes are a really good team. They didn't look like it. You know, they really haven't looked like it after the first couple games, but I still am very, very bullish on this team. Buckeyes ranked number 16. Buckeyes favored by 2.5. Just your thoughts on this game tonight, Bax.
Well, it's a good game for OSU. They're a 3-point favorite at home. If they win this game, it's going to look great on their tournament resume. Look, most of us don't pay that much attention to basketball until football season gets here, but if OSU keeps winning, that's only a good thing for them going forward. So I'm excited. I'll probably have it on in the background. But you really, you know, let's face it, it's November. And basketball doesn't really get first viewing until the Buckeye football season's over. So, you know, you keep an eye on things, and hopefully they go out and play well. It's exciting to see these young guys doing well. Cincinnati win already looks good, and this would be a huge feather in their cap if they can pull it off. So go Holtman, go Bucks.
Yeah, no doubt about it. And this is one of those games that's like no-lose situation for Ohio State. If they do lose, it's not like it's going to be to keep them out of the tournament. But if they win, huge feather in their cap, and they're putting resumes together, you know, when they're looking at Selection Sunday. Great stuff, as always, from the People's Champ, Matt Baxendale. You can catch his column every Sunday. It is The Bucket. Must-read material on Bucknuts.com. Thanks again to Bax, and thank you to the listeners out there for tuning into the show. I appreciate it. Hope everyone has a great day. Let's hear that Buckeye swag, best damn band in the land.
Greetings, Fantasy Warriors. I'm Heath Cummings, your guide to fantasy dominance on FFT Dynasty. Join me this offseason where mock drafts become epic showdowns and every pick shapes your legacy.
If I was Adam, with the team that he's built, Will Levis makes so much more sense than me.
And that's not all. We're peeling back the curtain on the future with our exclusive 2024 NFL Draft Prospect Profiles. Uncover hidden gems that'll elevate your roster to legendary status.
Puka Nacua. After Cooper Kupp, we really have no idea who's going to get the targets.
Keaton Mitchell of East Carolina. Explosive speed is ridiculous.
This isn't just a podcast. It's a playbook for champions. Subscribe to FFT Dynasty now, and together we'll conquer the fantasy football frontier. Your dynasty journey starts here.